What does it take to get to a place where you're sitting on the side of the road begging? What must it have taken for this man to do nothing all day? To sit on the side of the road and to beg. The man was blind from birth. So to speak, he was born into the desert. He was born in a place where life was hard. Especially back then. There were no schools for the blind. There was no Braille. You were blind from birth. You had it very difficult. And to make matters worse, oftentimes when you were born with a horrible disease or with a disease that made life difficult for you, people would ask, whose fault is that? Is that his fault or is that his parents' fault? Somebody has to be to blame because this man was blind from birth. I can imagine somebody growing up like that. Man, why did God like make me blind? I can imagine somebody growing up like that thinking that, man, I don't know if God is for me. I think God might be against me. I could see somebody growing up in a place like that, in a time like that. I don't know. I must not really be worth anything at all. What does it take to get to the point where you're just sitting on the road begging? And then what must it feel like to be on the side of the road begging? Some people kick you. Other people spit at you or say bad things about you when they think you can't hear. A few people throw a couple coins in your bucket. Man. I'm thirsty. I'm hungry. I feel alone. I feel despised. I feel rejected. Nobody cares about me. And with what, I wonder, did that man who was blind from birth try to fill himself up? Was it thoughts of envy or of anger or of greed? Was it sins of isolation, or was he just lonely? I don't know. I don't know what was going on all in that man's life or all in that man's heart, but I know that one day something happened. One day, this guy Jesus was walking by. And you know, Jesus encountered many blind people in the Gospels, and sometimes what happened when Jesus encountered a blind person in the Gospel is the blind person was sitting there begging, and sometimes he heard Jesus was coming by and he said, "Jesus, have mercy on me. Jesus, I need you to heal me. Like, Jesus, help me." But this guy, he didn't do any of that, did he? He just sat there. Perhaps after a whole life of, "God doesn't care about me. I'm not good enough. Life is just hard. I'm discontent. I'm bored. I don't know what my purpose in life is. A whole life of people just not caring about me. I give up." It'll never get better. The best I can do is to sit on the side of the road begging. There's a guy coming. He's been working miracles. He can heal you. Nah, that's for other people. The best I can do is sit on the side of the road begging. You ever find yourself thinking like that? This is the best I can do. This is the as good as it's going to get. It's not really that great. Not that fun. But this is as good as it's going to get. The blind man is resigned. He's resigned to his fate. He's resigned to his misery. He's resigned that it's never going to get better. And what does Jesus do? He walks right up to him. He doesn't ask for permission. He doesn't say anything. He spits on the ground, makes clay, and rubs it in his eyes. Can you imagine that? Like imagine you're the blind man sitting there, and all of a sudden this dude comes. You might hear and know that he spits and makes clay. You might not because you're blind. And all of a sudden, he shoves his fingers in your eyes. Ow! What are you doing, Jesus? Kind of like the monkey's blood and the peroxide. What are you doing? And slowly, slowly but surely, after the man is healed, he begins to proclaim the gospel. Slowly but surely, the man, when he encounters Jesus, says, hey, maybe there's a little hope here. Maybe my life can be different. And by the end of the gospel, by the end of the 9th chapter of the gospel according to John, all of a sudden, this man is a disciple who kneels down in front of Jesus and worships him as Lord. Who sees a glimpse that Jesus is God. He started out resigned. And Jesus broke into his life. But let's talk a little bit more about being resigned. Because maybe that sounded familiar. It's as good as it gets. Tried everything. It's never going to get any better. I invite you to open your bulletin to this page. The one with all the pictures on it. Am I, maybe, on the way to being resigned? Are you and I maybe on the way, or maybe we're already there, of being bound in our pain, of being bound in addiction? Let me tell you what the path to resignation looks like, that you and I might recognize if we're on that path and do something different. Let me tell you what the path to figuratively sitting down on the roadside begging looks like. That maybe we can do something a little different. Number one, we get tired. Sometimes, maybe this is just me, but sometimes I feel like I got a, like life is just like I got a bunch of plates spinning. Like I got my work plate over here, I got my study plate over here, and I got my family plate over here, and I got my friend plate over here, and I got that other job over here, and that other one over here, and I got all these plates. All the plates are spinning like on a dowel rod, and all the plates are spinning, and I'm running around from plate to plate trying to keep them all spinning, and please God, none of them ever breaks, because if one of the plates falls off and crashes, if somebody gets sick in my family, or if there's like a catastrophe at work, I don't know what I'm going to do because I barely have time to run from this plate to keep them all spinning. And man, that just takes a, whew, that's hard. I get tired. And it's so easy to get tired. And I say, here's what I say. When I take a vacation, it's all going to get better. If my husband would only do this, it would all get better. If only I got a new job, it would all get better. And so I go on vacation and I feel great for like 3 days, and then I come home and I need a vacation from my vacation, and my plate's still spinning and it falls over and I just don't know what to do. Or something does happen in my family, and your husband does change something in his life, and that's great, and praise God, but I still got all these plates spinning, and I'm still just as worried before as I was after. And I have all these expectations that this or that is going to change my life and make me less tired and less busy and less stressed, and it doesn't. And I get disappointed. Because I put my hope in a new job or in a vacation or in this or that. And I just get tired. If we allow ourselves to get so tired, if we allow ourselves to keep running and running and running in this race and not to rest in the Lord, we just start to kind of slowly fade away. Quiet discontentment. Getting caught up with life. One day leads to the next, and life isn't so adventurous anymore. Life isn't so fun anymore. And we just kind of forget. Forget about the most important things in life. Forget about our deepest relationships. Our relationship with God. Forget to put time into your relationship with your spouse. And just kind of, well, life is life. And it's okay. But you know, when I really get quiet and think about it, it kind of hurts. And then we just kind of fade away, and routine becomes routine, and one day leads to the next, and we're not living this adventure that life is supposed to be, and the plates are still spinning, and we're tired, and we're faded. And then we say, this is as good as it gets. I don't like it, but I might as well get used to it. I might as well learn how to survive. I'm going to just sit here on the road begging, because that's the best I can do. I become resigned. It's like this for everyone. Nobody's really happy. Or maybe the opposite. Everybody else is happy, but I don't deserve to be happy. We stop trying, we stop asking, we settle, we forget that we forgot. Let me tell you what being resigned looks like in marriage. You see, there's one thing when it's your wife's birthday, and you wake up in the morning and you say, well, we can't say those words in church, but you say what you say, and you say, all right, it's her birthday, I forgot, and you scramble, and you do something really nice and really cool, and she feels loved. Okay. You should remember the birthday. But that's not so bad. What's bad is when you wake up in the morning, and it's your wife's birthday, and then it's lunchtime, and it's still your wife's birthday. And at the end of the day, you realize that you forgot that it was her birthday. So many times, you and I, it's really easy to get resigned, to be tired, to fade out, and to just forget that we forgot about our relationship with the Lord. To forget that we forgot what it feels like to be really happy. To forget that we forgot what it feels like to not be stressed. And to sometimes like just have fun. But if we don't, if we think this is as good as it gets, and if we forget that we forgot, then we go from being resigned to being bound. This is as good as it gets. It doesn't get better than this. I don't deserve better. So, well, I mean, going to the casino once a week, that's not so bad, is it? Well, if I just look at pornography a little bit. Well, Father, it's not every day. It's okay, right? Just one more drink. Just one more night away from my family. It can't get any better than this. So I'm going to medicate my pain with something that's going to bind me. with some addiction, with some sin, that's going to make me its slave. Because this is as good as it gets. I have an invitation for all of us this week. Me too. Some homework. Take your bulletin home and just take some time with these two pages. Check all those little boxes about being thirsty. What are the signs that I'm thirsty? And then turn the page and look at the steps. Am I tired? Do I need to change that? Am I starting to fade away? Have I become bound? Am I resigned? Y'all, I really think we've said it all Lent, that Jesus wants to change our lives this Lent. Not just on the surface, but I can tell you right now, from what He's doing in my life, from what I'm seeing on Wednesday nights and on Thursdays and in that confessional on Fridays, like God wants to go deep this Lent. And the only way that God is going to go deep is if we trust Him enough to let Him encounter us in our sins, in our resignation, in our addictions, in our secrets. If we are courageous enough not to recoil at our own needed medicine, if we're courageous enough to let God pour the healing remedy of His love into the wounds of our hearts, like the peroxide that goes on the wounds of our cuts, if we remember that all of this pain, that the difficulties of our lives, that God is not causing them, but that God is for us and that God wants to heal us, then God is going to go deep. And God is going to truly change our lives. So I invite all of us here to open ourselves up to that. Take home the bulletin. Examine your conscience. Come back on Friday. We'll be here all day if you want some help. Come back on Wednesday night. We'll be here if you want some help. If we're resigned, if we're bound. Lord Jesus, give us the courage to look into our hearts, the courage to open our hearts to You, and the courage to allow You to bring us freedom. Amen.